We're on Sadi Dalid Omid Aleph. We're going to start, though, on Sadi Gimel Omid Beis, two lines up before the end of Sadi Gimel Omid Beis, Itmar. And the Gemara now presents Machlokes, which we barely touched upon yesterday at the end of our discussion. The Machlokes revolves around the case of a Kosel Shebein Shtei Chatzer Shenofel B'Shabbos. So let's try to understand what was the situation before Shabbos, as they entered into Shabbos, and how did it change on Shabbos? Once you have a kosel, and if this wall has no openings, no windows, and it separates two chatzeros, then each chatzer makes its own eruv, but there's no joint eruv. There are two chatzeros separated by a kosel of mechitza. Now on Shabbos, after each chatzer made its own individual eruv, the kosel falls. And in effect now, you have one large chatzer. Now they didn't make a joint eruv between the two chatzeros because they were separated by a wall. Now there's no longer separation of a wall. Rav Omar ein metaltel bo ela arba amos. Now that this mechitza that separates the two chatzeros is no longer, then each individual eruv is completely batel. It's invalid. Why? Because it's an eruv that only is valid for half the chatzer. Let's say you have five residents on the other side of the kosel, five on this side of the kosel. And now with the kosel down, there are really 10 residents sharing one chatzer. There's nothing separating the two chatzeros. They only set up an eruv with five residents, not with the other five residents. And therefore, says Rav, that eruv that they set up, each one individually, respectively, is completely null and void. And therefore, according to Rav, we have two repercussions now. Once the kosel that separates the two chatzeros is down, first and foremost, the members of these two chatzeros can no longer carry from their homes into their chatzer, because now there's no eruv in the chatzer. And secondly, it goes without saying that the members of the chatzer on the right can no longer cannot carry into the chatzer on the left, and vice versa, because there's no valid eruv that combines the residents of both of these two chatzeros. And basically what Rav is saying is that once the situation changes on Shabbos, and now the kosel goes down and invalidates the eruvin, because again, as I said before, each eruv for each chatzer is no longer an eruv that combines all the residents of one chatzer, because once the kosel is down, it's one long chatzer. We're not going to pin it on what was like on Erev Shabbos. The fact that these Erevin respectively were valid on Erev Shabbos, that has no bearing today on Shabbos. And Shmuel Omar, and here we turn to Daf Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph, Zemetaltel ad ik im ad ikar machitza, Vezemetaltel ad ikar machitza. Which means that the situation today on Shabbos is identical to what it was on Erev Shabbos. Each chatzer respectively has its own eruv, and although the eruv is now no longer valid because the kosel that separated the two chatzeros is down, but nevertheless the halacha is that everything freezes with the onset of Shabbos. Whatever the situation was in terms of tiltel, what was mutter b'tiltel, what was aser b'tiltel at the moment of Ben Hashmoshes, when Shabbos enters, remains for the entire balance of Shabbos. It's one entity, it's one Kiddushas Hayom. And that's the principle called Shabbos Hol V'Hutra Hutra. Whatever became Mutter as a result of the Erevin when the Kosel was standing remains Mutter for the entire balance of Shabbos. This, despite the fact that the Sivas Aheta, the reason why it was Mutter, namely the kosel that separated and split the chatzeros into two chatzeros, is no longer. Now, we have to make the following point. What kind of kalim are we discussing? There are two types of kelim here. There are kelim that were shoves in the chatzer. That's where they were with the onset of Shabbos. And then there were kelim that were shoves in the bayis with the onset of Shabbos. Our discussion, says Rashi, and Shmuel's heter applies to the kelim that were in the bayis and were shoves in the bayis with the onset of Shabbos. Here, with regard to those kelim, we have a machlokes between Shmuel and Rav. However, with regard to kelim that was shoves in the chatzer with the onset of Shabbos, there's no machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Because even if I grant you that with the collapse of the kosel during Shabbos, we now have an invalid eruv, who cares? It makes no difference. Because you're allowed to carry from one chatzah to the other, kelim that was shoves in the chatzah. But that only works according to Shmuel. Shmuel was the one who maintained that if there was no eruv, or even for that matter, if there was an eruv, those kelim that were shoves in the chatzah can be moved into a nearby chatzah on Shabbos without an eruv. Rav was the only one who generated an isur, because Rav had this new gzera, which somebody whispered into his ear, so to speak, that we have to be afraid of kelim that were taken from the bayis based on the eruv into the chatzah during the course of Shabbos, and therefore he may confuse these kelim with those kelim. But Shmuel never accepted that gzera, and therefore, according to Shmuel, any kelim that was shoves on erev Shabbos in the chatzah can be carried into another chatzah. So the fact that the kosel goes down in the middle of Shabbos, from Shmuel's perspective, vis-a-vis those kelim that were shoves in the chatzah, there's nothing to talk about. I don't even need an eruv to carry, to allow carrying those kelim that were shoves in the chatzah to a nearby chatzah. No eruv is necessary. Shmuel, however, has to address the case of kelim that were shoves in the bayis on erev Shabbos, which normally you would not be allowed to carry into the next chatzah without a valid eruv. And here, with regard to those kelim that were shoves in the bayis, Shmuel is going to, so to speak, validate the eruv that is no longer valid because of the principle of hoyel v'hutra hutra. That means that since the eruv was valid in the onset of Shabbos, it remains valid for the balance of Shabbos. Now, here I want to share with you the insight of Tosfos. And in a sense, if I always play this game with you, if I was quizzing you in Masecht Erevin, I would ask you the following question, see if you can come up with the answer. Is there a chumrah in Shmuel? At the face of it, Shmuel is the mekel. He's going to say that since the Erev was set in motion on Erev Shabbos, it remains valid for the course of Shabbos, even though it's not valid because the kosel fell down. That's a kula of Shmuel. And therefore Shmuel is going to allow you to take kelim out of your house into the chatzah, and not only that, from your chatzah to next to the chatzah, even though there's no Erev, because the kosel is down, and there was never an Erev between the two chatzeros. And Tosis wants to point out that Shmuel's shita, that the situation halachically freezes on Erev Shabbos, and whatever the situation was on Erev Shabbos remains for the entire balance of Shabbos. That's not only a kula, but it's also a chumrah. How so? How could it be a chumrah? Says Tosis, what would happen if you have a number of homes and they share a chatzer? But the problem is that this chatzah does not have a mechitza. And in the absence of a mechitza, the chatzah opens up into the Rishus HaRabim without any mechitzos, and you're not allowed to carry out into your chatzah. What would be, according to Shmuel... No, I'm sorry. That's going to be the second case. Let me give the first case, the simpler case first. What happens, according to Shmuel, if the... No, you know what? I think I'll go with that case. if there were no mechitzos, and then on Shabbos, mechitzos were set up. What do I mean? Let's say Nachrim come, and they erect mechitzos. Now, in the present situation, you've got a Rishus HaYochid, which means it's surrounded by mechitzos. But entering into Shabbos, you didn't have those mechitzos. So you had a place that was virtually a Rishus HaRabim, or open to Rishus HaRabim, whatever the various scenarios might be. So Shmuel now, applying his principle, would be of the Machmir, because Shmuel is going to say that the erecting mechitzos on Shabbos could not be matir tiltul if there was a tiltul that was also an Erev Shabbos in the absence of those mechitzos. And again, what Shmuel is basically saying is that we view Shabbos as an entity, as a unit of 24 hours, and it's indivisible. And the Bein HaShmoshos is going to determine, as far as tiltul from Batim to Chatzeros and the existence of Mechitzos, the entire Shabbos. And that could go, Tosus points out, both Lekula, as we see in our sugya, where the Mechitzos fell on Shabbos, invalidating the Mechitzos and the Erevin, or in the opposite case, Lechumra, when Mechitzos came into existence, that could be Matir Tiltul in the middle of Shabbos. The Gemara points out that Ha de Rav la beferish itmar ela michlola itmar. Rav never said explicitly that a kosel that falls between two chatzeros generates an isur tiltul of dalet amos, but we derive it from, by implication, from the following: ela michlola itmar. De Rav Shmuel, the story was that Rav and Shmuel aviyasve bahu chatzer. They were sitting together in one chatzer on Shabbos, nafal guda de beni beni, and the kosel that separated their chatzer from the proximate chatzer next door fell down. They had not made an eruv with the next door chatzer because they had, going into Shabbos, a kosel that was a valid mechitza that separated their chatzer from the other chatzer. Now what's going to happen is that Shmuel is going to insist that they're allowed to carry into the chatzer, meaning even though the kosel fell down, and now the two chatzeros really form one unit, one continuous chatzer, such that the Erev that they set up on Erev Shabbos is no longer valid, nevertheless Shmuel is going to allow you to carry in the chatzer. Amalu Shmuel, shkolu glima negiduba. Take a talis and spread it out over that place where there was a mechitza going into Shabbos, and there's no longer a mechitza. In any event, the Gemara understands at this point that Shmuel recognizes the validity of that mechitza, even though it doesn't exist anymore. Again, exactly what he meant by covering over that spot by a glima, we'll get to in just a minute. So what was Rav's response when Shmuel said that we can still rely on this mechitza as if it still existed, this phantom mechitza, because the mechitza was there on Erev Shabbos and validated our Eruv. Adrinu Rav Lape. Now you and I may have said, okay, Rav turned his face the other direction, maybe he wanted to see what was going on to his right, but that's not how the Gemara understands it. The Gemara understood that Rav turned his face away in order to show his indignation, his disagreement with Shmuel. That was his way of demonstrating that he didn't agree with Shmuel. He held that there's no heter, you can no longer be metaltel anything in the chatzer. And Shmuel said, well, you could pick up this glima, this talis, and you could move it from one place to the other, indicating that we can still rely on the eruv. Amalu Shmuel. Shmuel turns to his talmidim, and he says he kopit Abba. Abba was the name that he called Rav. Some say that that was Rav's real name, was Abba. Shkolu hemyone v'kitruba. In other words, Shmuel wanted to, if you pardon the expression, like ram it in. And what did he do? He told his Talmidim to take Rav's belt and tie the talis to the belt, or the belt to the talis, as if it were a substitute mechitza. Meaning, he was really telling Rav that, Rav, you yourself have to recognize the validity of this phantom mechitza, excuse me, the mechitza that once was and is no longer. And this is the way, in a certain sense, that they would joke around one with the other. The Amoraim, the holy Amoraim, would say to each other, okay, here's your belt. Go get the belt. You know, you're going to have to pick up the belt here because you're going to have to rely on the mechitza that once was, and you're allowed to be metal to the belt inside the chutz as if the Erev was still valid. The Gemara now asks, Shmuel lomali ha, why did Shmuel require that they take a talis and put it in the place, so to speak, to replace the mechitza? Is the talis now meant to serve as a mechitza? Ha'amar, after all, Shmuel holds, Zemetaltal al ikar mechitza, meaning that the mechitzos still exist, even though they don't exist, but we imagine as if they exist, and since there was a mechitza there in Erev Shabbos, the mechitza is still there to be matir, and to be machshir, the Erev that was set up on Erev Shabbos. Why did he need to take this talis as if to substitute for a mechitza? Gemara says, Nein, you misunderstood. That's not what Shmuel had in mind. He had in mind something else entirely. Shmuel, Oved l'tzniyusa v'alma. Once the kosel fell that separated the two chatzeros, there was a privacy issue. Now there was nothing separating. People could see from one chatzah to the other. Go put up this talis here that people should not be able to invade each other's privacy. So it was an issue of tzniyus. It has nothing to do with Hilchas Tiltul, Erevin, and Mechitzos. The Mechitzos are still valid. The Erevin are still valid. You're allowed to carry, just as you would have been allowed to carry had the Kosel not fallen down. And the talis story was only a tzniyus. V'rav, isvirle di'osur lemalei. Why was it that Rav simply turned his body to the other direction if he really disagreed with Shmuel and he held that with the falling of the Kosel, you no longer could rely on the Erev and you're not allowed to carry within that Chotzer? He should have said such a thing. And the Gemara answers, Asrei de Shmuel Havi. This whole story took place in the province, in the domain of Shmuel, in that area, that location of Shmuel. And therefore, it's not proper for Rav to prohibit something which Shmuel permits. Shmuel is the Rav Ha'ir, he's the rabbi of the city. So maybe he should have gone a step further. He shouldn't have even indicated by turning his face that he objected. And the Gemara answers, lo neimru kishmuel svirle. He didn't want the Talmidim to think, the spectators, to come to the conclusion that he agreed with Shmuel. He wanted them to know that he would not be matir tiltul because once the kosel falls down on Shabbos, there's no mechitza, there's one long chatzer, the Erev that they set up as two separate Erevin is no longer valid. And this leads us to the new Mishnah. Chatzer shenifritzo l'shus harabim. What happens is that you have a chatzer that opens into a public area. It's your personal chatzer, but it opens up into Rishus HaRab. Now, before we go on, let's just make the following comment. And the Mishnah is going to blow us out of the water over here. We would have said that if you have a chatzer and it has mechitzos, then the status of that chatzer is a Rishus HaYachid. And if that be the case, then let's say, for example, somebody would carry something from that chotzer into the house. The house is clearly Rishus HaYachid. The chotzer is Rishus HaYachid. Okay, it's Nifritzal Rishus HaRavim, but that doesn't change its status as Rishus HaYachid. It has three mechitzos. It has a pirtz in the fourth mechitza. And the Mishnah now quotes Rabbi Eliezer. And he says, HaMachnis mitocha l'Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaYachid l'tocha chayav. He's chayav achatos. In other words, the status of the chotzer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is that of a Rishus HaRabin. so that if he takes something from his house out into the chatzer, or vice versa, or for that matter, let's say there's Rishus HaYochid in another place, another location, he carries something from that Rishus HaYochid into the chatzer, he is chayv achatas. The chatzer is now a complete 100% Rishus HaRabbi. Why? Because of Nifritza. And we're going to have a whole Sugis HaGemara to try to figure out why Rabbi Eliezer considers this Chatzah Shenifritza as a Rishus HaRabbi. Chachamim Omrim Mitocha Rishus HaRabbi Rishus HaRabbi Mitocha Potur. If you're carrying from a Rishus HaRabbi into this Chatzah, then you're Potur. In other words, we're not going to treat this chatzer neither as a Rishus HaRabim nor as a Rishus HaYochid, but rather b'nei shehi k'karmelis. Now, there's going to be a whole long discussion here about why the Chachamim honed in on this case, on this scenario, where he's carrying from Rishus HaRabim into the Chotzer. After all, Rabbi Eliezer's case was when he carried from Rishus HaRabim, when he carried from a Rishus HaYochid into this Chotzer. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer wanted to dramatize that the status of this Chotzer is that of Rishus HaRabim, and therefore, if you carry from a Rishus HaYochid into this Chotzer, like we said, from your house out into the chotzer, you're chayev, because you're carrying from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. It would have made more sense for the Chachamim if they disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer and they held that the status of the chotzer, even after it's nifritza, is still that of a Rishus HaYochid, then they should have said that if you carry from your house out into this chotzer, there's no violation of Melechas Hotzah. You're not chayev achatos, you're carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. If the entire machlokas here between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon can be reduced to the issue of nifritza, whether or not a chotzer shenifritza now becomes a Rishus HaRabim, simply because it's porutz, it's open up and accessible to the Rabbim, then I understand they should have argued about the case where he carries from his house out into the chotzer, and that's Eino Chinami, the case of Rabbi Eliezer in the Reisha, that he carried from his house into the chotzer, and Rabbi Eliezer establishes that he's chayv, but the chotzer is now swallowed up, so to speak, by the Rishus HaRabim. And then the Chachamim should have disagreed and said, in that case that you, Rabbi Eliezer, say you're chayv, you're certainly not chayv, because the chotzer still retains its status as a Rishus HaYochid. But notice that that's not what comes out of the mouth of the Chachamim. The Chachamim speak about a case of carrying not from the house out to the Chotzer, but carrying from the Rishus HaRabim, which is on the other side of the Chotzer, into the Chotzer. And perhaps the reason for this is because the Chachamim want to tell you that this Chotzer has an ambivalent status. It's no longer a Rishus HaYochid because it's Nifritza, and it's no longer Rishus HaRabim. And therefore you can't carry from a Rishus HaRabim into the Chotzer. And now the Chachamim are telling us a brand new Chiddush. And that is that this Rishus of Chotzer is not a Rishus HaYochid either. Meaning, if not for this discussion in the Chacham about carrying from Rishus HaRabim to the Chotzer, I would have said that the Chotzer, according to the sheet of the Chachamim, is identical with Rishus HaYochid. The Nifritza doesn't undermine its status as Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, if you carry from Rishus HaRabim into this Chotzer, you should be Chayav. Rabbi Eliezer says that the status of the Chotzer is that of a Rishus HaRav, if it's slept in and swallowed up by the Rishus HaRav, therefore if you carry from Rishus HaYachin into the Chatzah Yechayev. And the Chachamim should have disagreed and said, no, the status of this Chatzah, even after Nifritza, is that of Rishus HaYachin, and therefore if you carry from Rishus HaRav into the Chatzah, you should be Chayev. So therefore the Chacham want to tell you that we're not going as far as to say that the status of this Chatzer is a Rishus HaYachid. We're not disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer min HaKotzer LaKotzer. From one extreme to the other, Rabbi Eliezer, so to speak, has the audacity to classify and define this Rishus of a Chatzer as a Rishus HaRabim. That we reject. And we hold min HaKotzer LaKotzer that this Chatzer still retains its status as a Rishus HaYachid. It has three mechitzos. No. The Rabbanan are not going to go that far. They're going to admit that once the Chatzer is Nifritza, it loses its status as a Rishus HaYachid. But they're not going to go as far as to establish that, as Rabbi Eliezer would have it, it has the status of Rishus HaRabim. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I would be allowed to carry from Rishus HaRabim into this Chatzer Shenifritza. Because the Chatzer Shenifritza has a status of a Rishus HaRabim. Name, say the Chachamim. I don't agree with you that the Chatzer has the status of a Rishus HaRabim. That far I won't go. But I do agree with you that it's not a Rishus HaYachid. So if it, you know, I'm sorry. I disagree with you. One second. Again, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Right, I disagree with you that it has the status of a Rishus HaRabim. But I'm not going to go as far as to identify it as a Rishus HaYachid. So therefore, what's going to happen is that this Chatzer, because of its status that is, shall we say, pulling it in two directions. On the one hand, it has mechitzos, but on the other hand, it's totally parutz and accessible to the Rishus HaRabim. Such a Chatzer has the status of a Karmelis. And if it's a Karmelis, then you cannot carry neither from Rishus HaYachid into this Chatzer, nor from Rishus HaRabim into this Chatzer. So by emphasizing, the Chacham emphasizing that if you carry from a Rishus HaRabim into the Chatzer, your Potur, they're telling you two Chidushim now. Number one, they're telling you that your Potur on a Daraisa level, which means that we don't identify this Chatzer as a Rishus HaYachid, because if we did, then you'd be Chayv HaChatzos when you carried from Rishus HaRabim into the Chatzer. It's not a Rishus HaYachid, because now it's Poritz to the Rabim, and the Rabim have access to this Chatzer. On the other hand, Potur means Potur Avol Asur. You would not be allowed to carry from the Rishus HaRabim into this Chatzer. The Chatzer does not have the status of Rishus HaRabim. We're not going to go as far as Rabbi Eliezer and identify the Chatzer is Rishus HaRabim, but rather its status is that of a Karmelis. And therefore, on a Daraisa level, this Chatzer fits into no man's land. It's neither Rishus HaRabim nor Rishus HaYachid according to Chachamim. And therefore, if you carry from Rishus HaYachid into the Chatzer, or alternatively from Rishus HaRabim into the Chatzer, you'd be Potter. But in both of those cases, the Rabbanan said Potter Aval Osir. And the Chachamim defined this Chatzer now Shenifitza as a Karmelis. You're not allowed to be metalta from it, the Chatzer, to Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. You're not allowed to carry from it, from this Chatzer, into Rishus HaYachid, or vice versa. It's a Karmelis. Now we're going to learn the Sugya Sagamara to try to analyze what is the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. First, the Gemara attacks Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is telling us a Doraisa Halacha. This is really a radical Chiddush. He's telling us that the status of this Chatzer is a Rishus HaRabim Gemura Midoraisa, such that if he carries from his house out into the Chatzer, he's Chayav HaChatos. So the Gemara asks Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum de Nifritzo Rishus HaRabim Havilei Rishus HaRabim? And Rashi explains the Gemara's Kasha. How could it be that Rabbi Eliezer denies a klal, a rule, that is a rule of thumb that nobody questions? And that is that what you need in order to establish an area as Rishus HaRavim, you must have what's called a Derech Mesura L'Rabim. It means that if I own a chatzer, okay, there was a pirza, fine. But that doesn't mean I don't own the chatzer. It's still my private ownership. And I'm not going to allow the Rabim to have access to my chatzer. If the Rabim now take advantage of the fact that the kosel or the mechitza is prutza, and therefore they enter into my property, they are trespassing. They have no right to use my chatzer. I never allowed them and gave them license to use a chatzer. And therefore, this chatzer is not what's called Derech HaRabim. A classic case of Rishus HaRabim is a highway that splits the city down from one end to the other. And the Rabim use that as a Derech. That's Derech HaRabim. Again, we have other conditions that have to be met. It has to be wide open. Tesayin Amma. You may need Shishim Ribui. Whatever you need. But you need, first and foremost, a Derech HaRabim. And this chatzer is not Derech HaRabim. It's Reuven's chatzer. It's not Derech HaRabim. What do you mean? The Rabim decide that they're going to go through this chatzer? It's a private chatzer. So how could it be that because of Nifritzah, it becomes a Derech HaRabim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, and we define and classify this chatzer as Rishus HaRabim? And even if I would grant you that the Rabbim are going through his chatzer, and it's a very wide chatzer, it would still not be Rishus HaRabim because it's not Derech HaRabim. It's not Mesura L'Rabim. He never made a declaration, I hereby, you know, sign the document, I certify that the Rabbim are allowed to go through my chatzer and use it as their highway. It's my chatzer. And the Gemara says, in. And this is a radical chiddush. The Gemara says that the Rabbim have the rights to define, or shall I say, to establish this chatzer as a Derech HaRabim. It's like the law of the jungle here. Because Rabbi Eliezer l'tameh, the son you have a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbim Sheberu Derech Li'atzman, Ma Sheberu Beru. I forget what it's called in Latin, habeas corpus, one of those things. I have to remember my legal terms from when I studied law. Anyway, there is such a thing as the Rabbim taking over an area and establishing that as a Derech. And they have the rights to do so, says Rabbi Eliezer, because of the Tzorchei Rabbim. So you have an area where it's closed off from the highway, and it makes it very cumbersome for the Rabbim to swing around this whole chatzer. They want to go straight through the chatzer and end up on the highway. And they have the rights to do so. And that's called Rabbim Sheberu Derech Li'atzman. You know, they're using their muscles here, muscling themselves around, and they're saying, we're going to use this derech for ourselves. Is Masha Beru, Beru. They were Zocher in the Hilucha Rabim. You're telling me that we have a cloud that you need a derech HaMesura L'Rabim. This becomes a derech HaMesura L'Rabim. Why? Because the Rabim take over this derech. And now the Bala Sodeh, the Bala Chotzer, he wants to say, you know what? I want to fence around this area. I'm going to put up barriers. I'm going to put up an electric fence and, you know, all the wiring and so forth and so on. No one's going to get access to my field or to my courtyard. He's not allowed to do that. He doesn't have the legal rights to do so. This is like communism almost. I don't want to use that word, but, you know, like Rabbi Eliezer is giving so much power to the state or to the public that the public could abscond and take over that which is private property? What happened to, good old economics 1.1, you know, laissez-faire, in other words, I own my private property and it's mine. Now, why did the Rambam take over this derech? That's because it was Nifritzah. You know, they saw that the chatzer opened up into the public area. it was very easy now for the public to sort of push themselves into that area. And they want to use the chotzer as their derech. Says Rabbi Eliezer, since the rabbim have a right to make that chotzer into their derech, is memela, the chotzer itself becomes a rishus rabbim. The chachamim, we understand very well, according to this. They hold, against Rabbi Eliezer, that the rabbim were never granted rights to take over the chotzer that's privately owned, and to set up a derech liatzman. Well, this is going to be our highway. This is going to be our derech. We're going to be borer derech liatzman. There is no such halacha. The field or the chotzer belongs to a private person, and if the rabbim are going through that chotzer, they're basically trespassers. They have no right to do so, even though that machitza fell, and it's now nifrit, so they don't have rights to do so. So to tell me now it becomes a Rishus HaRab, Rabbi Eliezer, that we cannot tolerate. It's definitely not a Rishus HaRab. So the Gemara says, Eini, is it really so that Rabbi Eliezer made this really revolutionary, almost communistic statement that the rabbim have a right to be mavarer? They can decide that this is going to be their chotzer. V'amar Rav Gidol Marav, when did Rabbi Eliezer say that statement, which we had before quoted by Rabbi Yehuda? That rabbim shabiru, derech liyasma shabiru biru, that's only sha'avdolem derech bi oso sadeh. It means that originally the rabbim had a highway that cut through the field of Reuven. Now that highway got lost. We don't know exactly where it is. In such a case, Rabbi Eliezer says that the halacha recognizes the rights of the rabbim to now decide, and they make a birur, they make an evaluation and a choice and a decision, which derech are they going to use to go through this field? And in a sense, I think what's going on here, in Rav Gidol Amarav's interpretation of Rabbi Eliezer, is that even though the rabbim really don't know, they have no clue, it was Avda, they don't know where the derech was originally, but nevertheless, they can swap another derech and determine that this is a derech, meaning they have rights in the sada. The sada is like a halachic entity. It's a cheftin halacha. And if that sada had a derech a rabbim, that gives the rabbim rights not only to that derech, they have rights to the entire sada vis-a-vis a derech. So wherever it is that they decide. Now, I'm confused about one point. I don't know if, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the rabbim have a right to say, you know, Boker Tov one Sunday morning. They give a clap on the table and they say, we decided that our derech is going to be here, you know, at a certain longitude, latitude, or whatever it is. No, I don't think that's how far Rabbi Eliezer is going. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that if we don't know where the derech is, it's lost. We don't have any witnesses, even any children from that generation that remember where the derech used to be. You know, it's subsequently been, you know, there's moss, there's grass, I don't know what there is that grows in that derech. We can't identify the derech. So the Rabbanon, the Torah itself, according to Rabbi Eliezer, recognizes the rights of the rabbim to set up a derech in that chotzer. They can't wake up one morning and say, well, forget about the old derech, we want a new derech. That's the derech that they acquired, and that's where they have their ownership rights. They don't possess any rights to any other alternative derech to make swaps and make sure that he starts, you know, the Bala Sada now has to start planting his wheat in the north instead of the south. No, they don't have rights to do that. But in a case of Avda, then they have rights vis-a-vis the Sada to a derech, and now they can be Mavaris a derech. And the fascinating thing is that according to this understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, we're not even going to grant the Baal HaSada the rights to choose the derech. He's out. they have rights to a shtickel derech, a piece of a highway going through this sod. And they'll decide where that sod is, where that piece of property and highway is going to be. The decision, the ball is in their court, the rabbim's court. Again, I don't know exactly whether they convene. You know, on kibbutz, they have what's called a nasifat chaverim. Have you ever heard of it? So I don't know if exactly in Rabbi Eliezer's communism, if we have a right to have a kibbutz, an asifat chaverim, and we'll take a vote, and we'll decide which area in the sada is convenient, is comfortable for the rabbim to set up their derech. But in any event, the ball is in the hands, the reins are in the hands of the rabbim, and Rabbi Eliezer recognizes that right to set up a derech, and that derech is now going to substitute for the derech that's lost. But if they never had a derech to begin with, then the rabbim don't have any rights to choose a derech and call it their own. And in fact, the Baal HaChatzer could decide, get out of my field, you're trespassing, and set up mechitzos and, like we said before, electric fences or dogs that'll protect his rights. If that be the case, now we're stuck, once again, with our Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah, because he says that chatzah shenifritza, which presumably means that the rabbim never had rights to a derech, and yet nevertheless he calls it a rishus rabbim. Why is it defined as a rishus rabbim? Do the rabbim have a right to be mevar lahem derech, to be bor lahem derech, when they never had a derech? V'chi tema, maybe you'll say, hachinami, maybe in our Mishnah also, kigon, she'avdu lahem derech b'yosef chotzer. Maybe we have to add a new kimta and a condition in understanding Rabbi Eliezer's ruling in our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer's only talking about a case where the rabbim had an original right of a derech in this chotzer, of dilemma derech, the derech was lost, and now they're exercising their rights to use, to decide and define a new derech. And therefore it's a rishus harab. So now we understand that in the context of a battle, so to speak, between the bnei rishus harabim and the bala chotzer, or the bala sodeh, where the Baal HaSodeh says, I don't want to give you rights to a derech. You already had rights to a derech. If you lost that derech, you're out. It's like somebody lost his glima. You know, he lost his coat, his cloak, and he doesn't have a simon. That's it. You know, yei shalom idas, have a yesh. You lost your derech. That's it. You can't identify it. You have no rights to the rest of the field. That's what the Baal HaSodeh is claiming. And the rabbi is saying, no, we once had rights in this field. We want to exercise those rights, and we want to choose for ourselves another derech. So if that be the case, then now we understand Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says that once the rabbi choose that derech, then that derech becomes their, what did we call it before, their derech ha-mesura l'rabim, and it has the status of a rishus rabim. In other words, we're not going to pay any attention to the tain of the Baal HaChatzer, to the Baal HaSodeh, but rather to the rabim. And therefore, once the rabim set up their mokom as a derech, it becomes a derech ha-mesura l'rabim, and therefore gains the status of a rishus rabim. Now, let's talk about the fact that before Nifritza, there was a mechitza that stood on that fourth ruach, the fourth side of that chatzer. And now, that ruach, that chatzer on that side, is no longer. It was nifritza. The rabbim according to Rabbi Eliezer, could decide that in the absence of that mechitza, that area becomes a derech harabim. And as Rabbi Eliezer says it, beru derech liatzmasha beru beru. And they now could be koveah a derech harabim. Now, once they koveah a derech harabim, and again, they once had a derech harabim, it was lost. So now, they enter into the chotzer, using it as a derech harabim, they have rights to do so. And that makes it into a rishus harab. And again, this despite the claim of the Baal HaChotzer that that wasn't your derech harab. It's mine. This area is mine. Now, let me ask you this. The chotzer is very wide. It goes from here all the way to here. Nifritza, the wall of the chotzer, is now down. Says Rabbi Eliezer, we have rights that are granted to the Rabbim to be mevarer, to be borrowed for themselves. A derech harab that goes through this chotzer. They once had such a right. They had such a derech. But l'chora, if I understand correctly, at this point in the sugya, the chotzer itself still remains, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, Rishus HaYachid, there's only an area in that chotzer which was selected by the Rabbim as a derech. That area becomes the Rishus HaRabim. When we go back to the Mishnah says, Chotzer Shenifritzo Rishus HaRabim, HaMachnes L'Socha, etc., etc., is Rabbi Eliezer says, Yechayim. The impression you walk away with from the Mishnah, I think, is that the entire Chotzer is Rishus HaRabim. So the question I'm asking, and I'm hoping that I can fit this question into the Gemara's question, we'll see if I can convince you of that and convince myself, is that I don't understand why Rabbi Eliezer classified the Chotzer as an entity, as a whole, as a Rishus HaRabim, if we're talking about Borolem Derech. I don't know if the derech means that they take over the entire chotzer from one end of the chotzer to the other, from south to east, from north to south and east to west. I don't know. So what's this business that Rabbi Eliezer says that if you machtes a motzi from Rishus HaRabim, from Rishus HaYochid into this chotzer after Nifritza, Yochayev HaChatos, making almost a general, all-encompassing statement about the chotzer as an entity, I don't think we should broaden our scope beyond the boundaries of the derech itself. The derech itself, I don't know, let's say it's Tetzayin Amo. But I would assume the chotzer is wider than Tetzayin Amo, or it certainly might be wider than Tetzayin Amo. Why is the entire chotzer classified as a Rishus HaRab? So I'm wondering if maybe that's what the Gemara means to ask over here. Ve'amar Rabbi Chanina, ad mokom mechitza machlokes. Okay. Let's see if I can put this together. First of all, we'll start from the end and work backwards. The word machlokes. That word is referring to the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Now it says ad moko mechitza machlokes, up until the moko mechitza. I mean, I thought that since the mechitza fell down, there's going to be a machlokes here about the moko mechitza. That's where the machlokes should be, The Rabbim now want to suggest that we're going to use the Makom HaMechitza as our derech. And the Baal HaChatzer, from his perspective, says, wait a minute, there was a Mechitza there, that wasn't where your derech was, I don't want you to use the Makom HaMechitza as your derech. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that we can side with the Rabbim. They have rights to decide because they once had a derech. So I got the impression that the machlokas here between Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer is about the Makom HaMechitza. But look at the language of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says that the machlokas is about Ad Makom HaMechitza. So you have this whole shetach called a chatzer. And at the outer boundary of the chatzer, there is a machitza. The machitza is no longer there. And the machlokes between Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer is ad mokom machitza. Meaning, there's no machlokes about the chatzer itself. The machlokes is when you exhaust the chatzer and you get to the mokom machitza, the outer boundary of the chatzer, that's where there's going to be a machlokes. Meaning the Chachamim would also agree, according to Rabbi Chanina, that just 1 second. Let me read to you, because again, this is the point that I needed your help. He says, Nechluku Chachamim al Rabbi Eliezer Le'inyan Shetach HaChotzer Kula. That sounds like what I said before. Ad Mokom HaMechitza Im Yesh Laduno Kirshas HaRabim O Kekarmelis. He's saying that the Shetach HaChotzer is going to be the machlokas. Not the way I said it, that even the Chacham would accept that the Shetach HaChotzer is Rishus HaRam. Nechluku Chachamim le'inyan Shetach HaChotzer Kula, and the Rabbanim disagree, and they hold that the Shetach HaChotzer Kula ad Mokom HaMechitza is a Karmelis, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Shetach HaChotzer Kula is a Rishus HaRabim. Oh, now what about the Mokom HaMechitza itself? Oh, in the Mokom HaMechitza, which is not Ad Mokom HaMechitza, so it's like Ad V'lo Ad Bechlal, the Mokom HaMechitza, there's no Machlokas about. In other words, even the Chachamim agree that the Mokom HaMechitza has the status of Rishus HaRabim, according to Rabbi Chanina. Now we're in deep trouble. Because if, according to Rabbi Chanina, the Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham revolves strictly and it's limited to the Chatzer Kula, the Shetach HaChatzer, and here's where the Chacham say the Shetach HaChatzer is private property, the Rabbim have no rights to that, but implying that the Mokom HaMechitza, the Rabbanan, would agree, right, because again, they're only arguing Ad Mokom HaMechitza, but V'lo Ad Bechlal, the Mokom HaMechitza itself, even according to the Rabbanan Rabbi Eliezer, is defined as a Rishus HaRabim. So that means that Rabbi Eliezer argues with the Chachamim about the Chatzer Kula, the Shetach HaChatzer Kula, defining it as a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, so far so good. So what is the Gemara's problem now? What is the Gemara's objection? The Gemara is asking, how can you tell me that Rabbi Eliezer is based on Avdolahem Derech? That's impossible. Because the Bnei Rishus HaRabim are not debating with the Baal HaChatzer as far as the Chatzer is concerned. They're arguing over the Mokum HaMachitza. That's where Rabbi Elias, according to Rabbi Hanina, that's where Rabbi Elias and the Chacham disagree. Now, as far as the rest of the Chatzer, the Ovrei Drachim, the Rabbim, would certainly agree that that Chatzer is private property, and they don't have rights. So what are you telling me now? You're involved now in a contradiction. Because on the one hand, you're telling me that our Mishnah and the Machlokas and our Mishnah is talking about a case of Dilem Derech. And now, according to Rav Chanina, the Machlokas in Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham revolves around the Chotzer and the Shetach HaChotzer. And there's no machlokas about the Mokum HaMachitza. So the Mokum HaMachitza represents a place where the Rabbim could go through. They will travel when they want to go from here to there, from south to north, they will travel through the Mokum HaMachitza, because the Mokum HaMachitza is no longer a Mokum HaMachitza. The Machitza is down. It's Nifritza. But what is Avdulem Derech have to do with Rabbi Eliezer in terms of the Shetach HaChotzer Kula? Rabbi Chanina is telling me that as far as the Shetach HaChotzer Kula, Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's a Rishus HaRab. Why? Because of the Lem Derech? How do you reconcile of the Lem Derech with Shetach HaChotzer Kula? You can't say on the one hand that the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim revolves around the Shetach HaChotzer Kula, and then tell me that the machlokas is because of Sada She'avda. You can't reconcile those two, because Sada She'avda could only be relevant to the Mokum HaMachitza. That's where the Rabbim want to decide now that the Mechitza is down, they want to use that and designate that as a Mesila Shel Ravin. But as far as the Chatzah itself, the whole area of the Chatzah, Shetach HaChatzah Kula, what does that have to do with Avdolei Maderech? Why does Avdolei Maderech give them rights to the entire Chatzah? Or, for that matter, convert and transform the entire Chatzah into Rishus HaRavim, which is what Rabbi Chanina is saying, according to Rabbi Eliezer. The entire Chatzah is Rishus HaRavim. So the Gemara now gives two answers. The Gemara says, Ema, we have to rewrite the script of Rabbi Chanina. He didn't say, Ad Moko Mechitza Machlokes. Ema, Al Mokum Machitza Machlokes. Just change the Dalid of Ad to an Al, to a Lamed of Al. The Machlokes is about the Mokum HaMachitza. As far as the Chotzer, Shetach HaChotzer Kula, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it's not a Rishus HaRavim. No way, no how. What rights do the Rabbim have to the Chotzer, to Shetach HaChotzer Kula? But rather, Mokum HaMachitza. Here's where there's machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Eliezer is going to classify the Mokum HaMachitza as a Rishus HaRabim. And now, when you imagine the Dinu Dvarim, you know, the, shall I say, the arguments back and forth between the Rabbim and the Baal HaChotzer, they're arguing about the Mokum HaMachitza. And the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is that Rabin Biru Derech Liatzma Shebiru, they have the rights to say that in this place where the Machitza is, we want to set up our Mesila Shel Rabin. And Rabbi Eliezer says, and I'm sorry, and the Chachamim say, what do you mean? There was a Machitza there. And the Baal HaChotzer says there was never a Mesila Shel Rabin. And he has rights to, you know, to reestablish his mechitza, meaning to stand on his monetary ownership rights and insist that there's no room for a mesilah shel rabim over here. I had a mechitza here. And the mechitza went down. Imagine that the mechitza is still up. The Gemara now offers another explanation of the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim. And let's say the Makom HaMachitza, we know exactly where it is. And the B'nai Rishus Rav are not claiming that this is ours over here in the Makom HaMachitza. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer says that we're going to consider it as a Rishus HaRavim. Why? B'tzide Rishus HaRavim kom miflegi. To Rabbi Eliezer, so b'tzide Rishus HaRavim k'rishus HaRavim domi. V'Rabbi So you have an area that's off the Rishus HaRavim, on the side, and the area of the Rishus HaRavim expands, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to include even that area that's on the side. Like, imagine you have the Rishus HaRavim, and then there are little poles or whatever that separate the vendors or the proprietors who own stores and so forth from the Rishus HaRavim. Well, the Rabbim have, you know, if they're very crowded and the streets are packed, then the Rabbim will tend to penetrate into that area, which is called Tzidei Rishus HaRavim. And in times of heavy traffic, that's where they're going to go. And Rabbi Eliezer says, therefore, those Tzidei Rishus HaRavim, since the Rabbim have rights to use them, and on occasion, when the traffic is so heavy, they will, in fact, exercise those rights. That defines it as a Rishus HaRavim. The Chacham say, no. Under normal conditions, the Rabbim don't go there. The Bala Chanuyos have set up a wedge to separate the Rishus HaRavim from their stores. And therefore, it's not a Rishus HaRavim. And that's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. What's the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRavim? So the Gemara says, "V'liflog b'tzidei Rishus HaRavim bi'alma." So if that be the case, then Rabbi Eliezer and Chacham should have had a general machlokus about tzidei Rishus HaRavim. Why are they arguing about a chotzer shenifritzel Rishus HaRavim? And the Gemara answers that "Iflugu b'tzidei Rishus HaRavim bi'alma hava amina ki pligi rabbanan alei de Rabbi Eliezer." When do they disagree? That's only in tzidei Rishus HaRavim, because the store owners set up these poles in order to separate the Rabbim from coming too close to their stores, because they may ruin the outside facade of the store. And therefore, there's a natural barrier that separates the Rabbim from that area called Tzidei Rishus HaRavim. But in a case of Nifritzah, where the Chutz is completely open to Rishus HaRavim, and there are no Chifufe that would inhibit the Rabbim from going through that area, Ema Module, maybe perhaps the Chachamim would agree that in such a case, the Rabbim will go there. It's Nifritza. There's no Chifufe that inhibits the Rabbim from having access to this place. And therefore, I would say that even the Rabbim would agree, even the Chacham would agree to Rabbi Eliezer, that the Mokom HaKosel, the place where the Kosel once stood but no longer exists, is called Erishus HaRavim, called Mashmalan. Therefore, our Mishnah wants to teach us that the din is not like that. And even in a case of Tzidei Rishus HaRavim, where there are no Chifufe, the Rabbanan still insists that that's not really a major part. It's not an integral part of the Rishus HaRavim. The Rabbim really don't have use of that area, and therefore it's considered off the grounds of Rishus HaRavim, and it's a Carmelis. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer Lishitoso, he holds that Tzidei Rishus HaRavim are a Rishus HaRavim, and how much more so in a case where there are no chifufe. Okay, Rabbosai, this is where we're going to stop here. Midway through Daf Tzadi Dalid, Amud Aleph and Mirza Hashem, we'll pick this up. We'll pick this up tomorrow.